Okay, we're back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and you're in the chat room there. You got the link I found for the brain worm. And all you have to do if you're is go to YouTube and type in two words, brain and worm, and it'll be the top video that comes up. And it's quite eye-opening there, but when you realize that that most people don't find these worms or just live with ailments throughout their life unexplained with these things in them, you realize that our Heavenly Father wasn't joking when he said, not to eat certain things. He was looking out for our own health. But and if you don't break his law, then you don't need forgiveness. If you do break his law, then you have to go to the world for forgiveness because of your disobedience. And believe me, their forgiveness is not very forgiving. Okay, let's see. We are in Luke chapter 8 and verse 34. When they that fed them, that is the swine herders, the pig herders, saw what was done, they fled and went and told in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what was done, and they came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Oh, wow, you know, this man, we've chained him up. He ran around naked, and he broke his chains, and wow, now here he is. He's in his right mind, and he's clothed. And also they, which told them by what means that he was possessed of the devils, was healed. And the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. We don't want you here. You know, Yeshua, we don't want you here. You know, you send all of our pigs into the lake. We don't need you kind here, man. Go away. Because what are you going to do to our commerce? That's right. They probably had a lot more things going on besides, unlawful commerce and swine. I mean, that was just the beginning of it. So they didn't want him in their cities and in their business. So they went into the ship and returned back. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with them. And Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own house and show how great things God has done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. So you have one side of the lake, they're glad to see him, they're waiting for him to return, and on the other side of the lake, they're sending him away because he messed with their commerce, and they don't want him sticking his nose in their business anymore, for whatever reasons. You know, you would think that they would start thinking about their loved ones, and thinking about how they could be healed, which would be the normal response. I mean, I'll tell you what, if there was some guy in the town near me that was healing people, and I heard that, you know, the lame were walking and the dumb were talking and the sick were being healed and the eyes were being opened, and there are a few people I could think of that I would take right down there. I would not be unlike these people here of that day. They're ones that I love that are suffering. They're ones that I love that, you know, have been dumb all their lives, or retarded, as we call it today. And I would be right down there. But no, not these people in Gennesaret, the Gadarenes, or they didn't want him there at all. The whole multitude came out and round about and besought him to leave. Don't come here. We don't want you in our towns, in our city. Go on, get out. That's not much love there, is there? Mm-mm. No love for the Messiah, no love for their suffering and their ill and their families, because you know we all have them, and some of us are them. Yes, many people grew up ignorant, breaking God's law and suffering in their hell for it. Or we're told in the corporate churches, the law was nailed to the cross, go ahead, eat pork. And they pick and hop and jump through the scripture to justify it against God's law. They twist the word and teach you lies. And then you suffer in your flesh and they send you to the witch doctors and the pharmakia so that they can sap every dime out of inheritance that you should be leaving for your children's children until you're finally dead and exhausted. And if you don't have anything, well, don't worry about it. Your God, the government, the socialist security scheme will put money in their pockets. They've always got a way, don't they? So he returned. The people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come to his house, for he had only one daughter. He had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And see what I mean? You know, these are hearts of flesh and blood. These people, they're not like these people, the Gadarenes over there. Man, they all know someone. Their hearts break for their loved ones that are sick and dying and infirm and blind and dumb. This is a natural thing for mankind. What is unnatural is what we saw over there on the other side of the lake, the Gadarenes. And you know what? The Gadarenes are all around us. You know, now the Gadarenes are the type of people that practice things like euthanasia. They just soon kill you. You're nothing but a dog anyway. You just descended from an ape. You're just going to die and be nothing anyway. You're not created in the image of God. There's nothing special about you. You know, better than an animal out there. You know, those of us that are husbandmen, we raise animals. We know that sometimes if you have an animal that is born lame or blind or halt or can't walk, we know that it's not going to live long. It's going to die. And sometimes we have to put that animal to death. We have to euthanize it. It is an animal. And you know, no good man likes to do that, but a good man realizes that it's the best thing to do. But the animal, and we realize at the same time, even though we don't want to do it, that animal's not created in the image of God. But we are created in the image of God. And to take a life like that is murder, and to not care is murder. So we have hearts that are flesh and blood, and then we have hearts that are cold as stone, that just as soon kill a child before it's born. And now they just brought into law where your 17-year-old public school daughter is going to learn in her health class. Well, she'll learn it before she's 17, but she will learn that when she's 17, she can go into any pharmacy and get a morning after pill to kill the child in her womb that has been conceived there. That's right. Cold. Stone cold hearts. We continue here. He had only one daughter, about 12 years of age. And you know, I love my girls. I've had several daughters, or I should say I have several daughters. And you know how we are fathers, those of us that have hearts of flesh and blood. We love our daughters, and our daughters love us. They're daddy's girls. And so we have here a man, he has his one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. So this woman is, you know, she's drawn out. All of her wealth is gone. She's given it all to physicians. She's tried everything. And they didn't have Social Security in those days, so all of her wealth is gone. It was spent, all her living. She came behind him and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her issue of blood staunched, it says. So it stopped. She stopped. She was hemorrhaging, in other words. And her hemorrhage stopped. And Yahshua, Jesus, said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press and sayest thou who touched me? And Yeshua said, somebody has touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. He knew that somebody touched him and was healed. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace. And while he yet spoke, there cometh one from a city, a ruler of the synagogue, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. So we got the story of the man who's going after the Messiah because his only daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, is sick and dying. And before he could get to the master, this guy comes, and one of his house comes and says, don't trouble the master. Your daughter is dead. But when Yeshua, Jesus, heard it, he answered, saying unto him, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came to the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and the mother of the daughter. So he kicks everybody else out. He said, everybody out. And they go in, and all wept and bewailed her. But he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. Well, that would be a natural thing. I mean, if I was at a funeral, I'm not sure I would laugh someone to scorn. I might put them out. I might chase them off. I don't think I'd start rolling in the aisles laughing, though. But they laughed him to scorn, and knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out. And he took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she rose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And the parents were astonished, but he charged them that they should tell no man what was done. Then he called the 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to curse diseases. And he set them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, neither script, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece, neither house, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed, because it was said of some that John was risen from the dead, and some that Elijah had appeared, and of others that one of the old prophets was risen again. And Herod said, John, have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. Yeah, he wants to see the spectacle, right? He wants to see the show. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that they had done. And he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to a city called Bethsaida. And the people, when they knew it, followed him. And he received them and spoke unto them of the kingdom of God. And he healed them that had need of healing. And when the day began to wear away, then came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away, that they may go into towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals, for we are here in a desert place. But he said, give ye them to eat. He said, why don't you guys give them something to eat? And they said, we have no more but about 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Except we should go and buy meat for all this people. For they were about 5,000 men. And that's just the men. So you got women and children beside. And he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And they did so. And that's how they knew how many there were. Because they had them sit down by 50s. So they could approximate how many there were anyway. And they did so and made them all sit down. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and broke and gave the disciples to set before the multitude. And they did eat, and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments that remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass, when he was alone praying, his disciples were with him. And he asked them, saying, Whom say the people that I am? And they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah, and others say that thou art one of the old prophets is risen again. And he said to them, But whom say ye that I am? Peter answering said, The Christ of God. And he would have said, the Messiah in their native tongue, I'm sure, that he was the Messiah. And another place it's recorded that he said, Thou art the Son of God. So recognizing him for who he was. And the Son of God. They understood the prophecies. They understood who they were looking for. I could say that they understood the first prophecy, that they were looking for the seed of the woman, for those that understood, that searched those things out, that set their minds and their hearts to understand the Word of God, would have understood these things. But these things are still a mystery today. People can watch the video I made, which you can find on the front page of my website, crosstheborder.org. Watch that video there. People can watch that and still not understand it. It amazes me that some of the comments I get, and I don't allow comments to be posted unless I approve, because so many of the comments are just awful, that the unbelievers comment on my videos with, not worth publishing, and because I can not allow it, I don't. Just the virulent hatred and profanity is, as you publish something like the truth, and especially something like the things that I published, and, the demons just pour out. That's all I can say, because out of their mouth you know them by their fruit. So there you go. So Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Peter always the first to answer a question like that. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them, If any will come. Now, he's just speaking to the disciples here. So let's get the scene as he straightly charges them. He says, Who do you say that I am? And Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And to carry your cross means to put to death the deeds of the flesh. And to put it in a nicer way is to have a desire to do only those things that please the Heavenly Father. The other side of that coin of doing only the things that please the Heavenly Father is putting to death those things that do not please Him, to crucify the deeds of the flesh, to endure in His kingdom because you desire to live a life that's pleasing to Him. So He said, let him deny himself. What are you denying? The things that don't please our Heavenly Father. So you deny yourself of those things which you did as a course, as a routine before you came to the Messiah, before you gave your life to Him. Your routine was to sin every day, to participate in things that were displeasing, that did not please the Heavenly Father. Now you are called to deny yourself of those things, to take up the cross daily and follow me, he says. And if we follow him, then we deny those things that we did before that were not pleasing to him. We hear the word and we do it. For whosoever will save his life, And that is the old life, the things that displease our Heavenly Father, shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same will save it. And yes, it may even come to losing your physical life. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God. Well, that's fairly plain. And I can tell you right now, I've seen the kingdom of God, and I haven't tasted death. How about you? Because he said it would be better to enter into life, maim, blind, halt, than that your whole body and soul be cast into hell. He wasn't talking about heaven, going to heaven when you die. He was talking about the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where he rules. The kingdom of God is where he is king. Is he king in your life? Does he rule? Do you have a desire to do only those things which please him? Then he rules in your life, and you have crossed the border into his kingdom. Verse 28, and it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And you know what? This will be a good place to pick up next time. So we're going to do that. We'll pick up in Luke chapter 9 and verse 27 next time on Cross the Border. Well, as we depart, as always, in everything you say and do at all times, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.